Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm glad I know the mighty God. I know who His name is, and I know what His name is. And I know that it is my strong tower that I can run into and be safe. There is no safer place to live than under the shadow of the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad you know Him today? Praise God. Oh, yes. We love you today. Love you, Lord. Well, I believe God, you know, sometimes He has a way of setting up things without us even knowing it. And He's done that today. Every praise song, every worship song that's gone up has focused our attention on the main thing, and that's Him. Amen. And when you realize and understand who He is, and you recognize that, and you embrace that, it changes everything about your life. And if you don't, you're going to miss out on the greatest blessing that you've ever had in your life. God's a good God, and He knows how to speak to you when you need Him to speak to you. Amen. I had a moment earlier this week when, I don't know if it was the old man syndrome or what, but I was up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I slipped out of our bedroom, and I got my iPad, and I went into the front living to read the word a little bit. And I normally never do this. I have a Bible app. When I open it, I go straight to where I quit reading last time. But that morning I thought, I'm going to read that verse of the day. And that verse of the day said this: if God can clothe the fields and meadows with grass and flowers, can He not clothe you as well? Oh, struggling one with so many doubts, or so many worries, or so many fears. I was so excited. I thought, thank you, Lord. I needed that. But that's not the great part about it. My wife got up, and I wanted to share that with her. And so I got my Bible app back open, and I went back, and that verse wasn't there. And I thought, I know I read that. That wasn't me sleep reading something. I didn't dream that. So there's a place where you can open up the last month or the last 2 months. I went back a month. The verse was not there. I went yesterday to check it just to make sure I hadn't missed something. And again, 30 days, 60 days, that verse was not the verse of the day. But God knew that was the verse I needed that day. That's the kind of mighty God you and I serve. There is no reason for us to doubt anything about Him. And it doesn't matter who you are. He doesn't just speak to the preacher. He speaks to anybody that's hungry to hear from Him and anybody that's open to Him. And if you'll allow God, He's going to show Himself to be more real to you than you've ever imagined. Ever imagined. Go with me to the Word of God. I'm going to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 33. And I think I had taken you there a few months back. But I'm going back to a portion of Scripture that captured my heart in my imagination, and I want to use that as our foundation today for what I feel the Lord would like to speak to us concerning. Deuteronomy chapter 33, I'm sorry, and we'll begin with verse 13. And of Joseph he said, and this is Moses speaking, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof. And, everybody say and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Amen. What a litany of blessings that Moses spoke over this man and the people that he represented. Precious, deep, chief. So many ways that he tried to express the overflow of what was in his heart at that moment concerning the future of this man and his family. And not only that, what he based that upon. And it was the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. That's my subject today. You may be seated. The 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy is one of the richest chapters of the Old Testament in my estimation, because it is the last words of Moses as he was preparing to go to a new home. And in this moment in his life, he brought all of the tribes of Israel together and he began to speak over every tribe blessings. What is unique about what Moses said concerning these people at this time was not exactly what their father had spoken over them before. Father spoke out of the heart of a father and the heredity, knowing his children, seeing their propensities and their bents and their personalities. And if you go read in Genesis what Jacob spoke over these same men and their people, what they would represent, it was somewhat different. He was much more blunt and much more cutting in some ways in what he spoke. He said of one of them, "You're as unstable as water." And another, he spoke of his weaknesses and his shortcomings. But when Moses comes to this point in their life and they're getting ready to go into the promised land, when he begins to speak, he doesn't recall their shortcomings. He doesn't recall their failures and their weaknesses, but he speaks to them of who they are, and more importantly, the prophecy of what God wanted them to become. Aren't you thankful that you are not limited to what somebody said about you in the past? But there comes a day in your life when God can change the order of those words and give them a better meaning than what they may have had in the beginning. And so it is. And if you read that chapter, you find the blessings. That's how it starts. And I love it. These are the words that Moses is speaking over these people that he had been with for so long in this wilderness, and he had endured so many things. And he said, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. And the word blessed, it's a powerful word, and it speaks of the favor and the goodwill and the mercy and the richness of God's abundance. You know, to me, it's a wonderful thing when a person can come to that stage in their life and they can be passing on blessings and they can be speaking benedictions over the future rather than being bitter or some other reaction to the moment that you live. live in. And the truth is, if anybody had a right to have some feelings at that moment, Moses had a right. He's standing there pronouncing the blessings of God over people and their lineage that had fornicated. They had stripped down naked and danced around an idol. They had broken every law and thing that God gave them almost. He had interceded for them multiple times, and now here he is, not able to go into the promised land, and they get to go. Takes a strong and powerful man in a moment like that to look over all of that and see the blessed hand of God and the purpose for why we're here anyway. And it's a powerful illustration to all of us that we need to be careful how we speak of the now and the future, because we have the opportunity to speak faith and to speak confidence and courage. And I want whatever is going on in your life, whatever season you're in, I want it to be a time where there are blessings that are being spoken, not the cursing of bitterness. So many people come to those stages of life and they're bitter and brittle. You're looking at one man that does not want to be that way in any stage of my life, no matter what I'm going through. I want to be able to look past the shortcomings and the failures and all the missteps and the mistakes and see the hand of God and the blessings of God that are over his people and his purpose. Everybody say blessing. Blessing. Powerful word, because it actually speaks of the future. A blessing is a prophecy of what is still to come. It is not looking backward, although it looks backward. It is looking forward, and it is saying, this is what your future is going to look like. This is what God wills for your coming day. This is what God wants you to enjoy and embrace and go into. And it was blessing. And you heard the word over and over. The precious things, the chief things, the deep things, the precious thing, the precious thing. When he was speaking over Joseph and his family, all he could see was the goodness that God wanted to perform in this man and his family who had been separated. It seemed that God said, I'm going to repay you for the years that the canker worm hath devoured. I'm going to repay you for the years that you suffered alone in a prison. I'm going to bless your future because of what you've endured. Listen to me, Greater Life Church. There is nothing that God desires more than to bless this church and its future because of what we have been through in our past. God does not look at us and our failures and our shortcomings now, but he sees us as an enduring people, as a stalwart people, as a people that rise back up. And he said, hey, I'm going to bless your future better and bigger than you've ever imagined in your life. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. And so these words are taken from this benediction in which he pronounces all of these blessings upon the children of Israel. What's interesting is that evidently nostalgia took hold of him as he looked out over that vast audience of people, and he started reminiscing. His mind raced back, and as it raced back, he saw how God had done all that he had done and the purpose and how God had kept them. And as he stood there on the border of the promised land, his mind began to see where it all began, and he saw where the substance of it started. There's something touching about his reminiscence, because he remembers that God's hand started on him a long time ago. And now in his mind, that long journey that they've been on, he goes back and back and back and back until he finds that place of beginnings. He finds that spot where it really all started, because up until that moment, he had been running from God, or he had gotten ahead of God. And it was in that wilderness experience when he was alone with his father-in-law's sheep that the Lord caused a bush to be consumed with his presence and the fire burned. And Moses saw it, and the Bible said he turned aside. And it was there that God began to reveal himself to him. And what he told him, Moses could not even comprehend at that moment because he hadn't lived through enough experiences to realize how rich what God said was going to be down the road. That's the way it is with all of us. Some of us can't even comprehend. We don't have an index for it because we're not there yet. We've not seen it. We've not faced it. But God has a way of speaking in my present to the things that are coming in my future, and what he does is remind me to look back. Go back. And so Moses' mind races back there, and he sees himself there in that holy moment, and he is so overwhelmed by the presence of God, he doesn't know what to do. And so the Lord speaks and said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. God began to reveal his name and his purpose for Israel and what he was going to do with him and how he was going to use him to lead his people out. Amid all the protests of Moses, God said, I'm going to help you. He said, I can't talk. So he gave him Aaron to be a spokesperson. I tell you right now, there's not one excuse that any of us have that can keep us from our future when God has purposed something good. God said, hey, I have an answer for that. You come up with another excuse, God said, I have an answer for that. You might as well get ready to submit, because I want my will to be done, and I want it to be done here and now. Praise God. And it was that mission that he had been on for these 40 years, and all the mysteries, all of the questions that caused his mind to go back to that moment of mystery and weakness when he was so overwhelmed by what God was revealing to him. And it was that bush experience which was the starting point of his ministry, and it was the catapult that he needed to get out of that rut he had been living in for 40 years in the desert. And it was on that occasion that that voice spoke to him so clearly, and he again sees that bush burning, and he feels the fervency of that heat, and he senses the power of God's presence that was in that moment. And then he uses that as leverage to help Joseph see his future. He uses that as a fulcrum to help move Joseph further in to the divine purpose that God has for him. And it was in this reminiscence of him shepherding sheep and having this divine moment that God started him on this path, and God told him all that he needed to know in the very beginning. He just said, I am that I am is sending you. What does that mean? That means the God who is able. The God who is able to do what? The God who is able to do anything, everything, everywhere, anytime. The God who is able to do anything. And once more, those aged ears could hear that voice of God speaking out. And it wasn't just an old man lost in his memories and the reminiscence that comes as you get older, but it was an inspiration. It was that catapult that he knew that Joseph was going to need to really usher him in to the future that God had purposed and planned for his life. And in that moment, he saw in a panoramic view not only the bush burning, but he saw the waters of the sea parted, and he saw them walking across on dry ground. And when they looked back, the waters had come back and all of their enemy were drowning and dead on the seashore. And they go from there to a place where they were tested, and from there to another place that they needed water and they needed bread. And he saw it. He saw it. He saw it. He saw the bread. He saw the manna. He saw the manifestation of God. He didn't see all the rebellion and the hard stuff. He saw the hand of God that worked amid all that stupidity and chaos that goes on in humanity. He saw beyond all of that, and he saw where God worked it out there, how he made a way there. We went around this way because we weren't ready for the Malachite. We weren't ready to battle the Moabites. We weren't ready for that test yet. And so he takes them on this arduous journey through a wilderness, and he tests them and he tries them. But there was something constant with them. There was a cloud by day and there was a fire by night. They never had to worry about a covering over their life, because the scripture said that when the fire moves, the cloud moves, then you move. And so they had to learn how to walk with God, and they had to learn how to follow him wherever and whenever he led them. And he sees all that. The parted waters, the food, the clothes. Never got old. They never wore out. The shoes didn't wear out. He looks down at his feet, and he's got the same sandals on that he started with 40 years ago. You look at your shoes right now and tell me how many of you have 40-year-old shoes on. How many of you have 40-year-old clothes on? And that's all you've been able to wear every day for 40 years. He looks at what he's got on. It doesn't even look threadbare. I don't even think it had sweat rings on it. I don't even think it had a stench about it. Now, you ever been in the wilderness? Anybody ever been to the desert? What happens? You perspire. You sweat. However you want to look at it. One's a more sophisticated way, but it's the same thing. Yeah. It may just be me. I may find out in heaven they stunk like rats, but I don't believe that. I believe that if God's hand could extend the life of those clothes and extend the life of those shoes, then God's hand could have kept them from smelling bad, because they had no water to bathe in. There wasn't a river that flowed with them down so they could go bathe. You cannot imagine what it must have been like. And yet here they are, and he's looking out and he sees these people that are vast, and now they're on the edge of the promised land. And he said, Joseph, I want you to hear what God wants to prophesy of your future. I want you to hear what God is saying about your tomorrow. And he starts talking about the precious thing, the chief things, the deep things. And he comes to this final statement, and the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Because it was at that moment that he realized that the God who had taken them through all of that was the God who was going to take them through this and to this. And he wanted them to know, your past is an evidence of what your future is supposed to be. What God's done back here is not mere history. It is his story about the rest of your life. Goodwill. Everybody say goodwill. Means favor. This is what's so important about it. The word goodwill or favor, when it is used in scripture, represents the position that someone enjoys under a superior who is favorably disposed toward them. It is that position of being under the eyes and the guidance of one who has nothing but good about your future in mind. He doesn't want you and I to be lost. He didn't create hell for you and I. He created hell for the devil and his angels. And so if you and I go there, we're going to go as an intruder, because God didn't create that place. He created a place called heaven. He created a paradise where we could be like we were in the beginning. And he's given us the opportunity to enjoy that. And what God thinks about us now has not changed about what God thought about us back then. And the same God that was in the storefront is the same God that's in this building today, and he is the same God that is speaking about our future and pointing us to the future and saying, hey, look back at where I brought you from, look what I brought you through, and then you can turn and look to the future and realize that if I was back here, I'm certainly going to be up here. His past purpose. Everybody say his past purpose. Say it again. His past purpose is a pledge to the future work. His past purpose. His past working. Every place he took them through. Every day that manna showed up. Every day the quail were there. Every time they come to that place where they needed water, and he struck the rock and water flowed forth and was plenteous. Every one of those, the crossing of the Red Sea, the looking at my clothes and realizing they're not worn out. He said, that is evidence to you. You need to hold on to that evidence, because that's what's going to be the foundation upon which I'm going to move you into the future. And what I did back there in the beginning is what I'm going to continue to do in the future. Amen. Amen. The great truth of this text is that when you come to this point of realization like Moses did, is when you really come to the full sense of God right now in your life. You see how powerfully God has worked things out. Things that you didn't even know how to get through. Days that you didn't even know how to maneuver. Moments when the pressure was so great, you felt like it was going to crush you. And yet there was something inside. There was a resilience that just kept pushing, pushing, pushing. And even though the devil tried his best to take you out, even though he tried to end your life, there was an internal pressure that kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And that's the reason you and I are here this morning. Is because there has been a hand upon this church and upon our lives, and he has brought us through. He has brought us through so many things. And to me, that is his evidence of what he is going to do in the future. God's eternal plan stretches underneath all of us today, and it helps us make sense of our fragmentary lives. Because we only know in part, we need somebody that knows all the parts, and he does. God's eternal purpose makes my limitations to time make sense, because without him, I can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. He saw the bush because it was on fire with God. And I want to tell you something this morning. Anything that's on fire with God will never go out. It will never go out. It will never go out. It will never go out. You can walk away from it, you can leave it, but this fire is never going to go out, because it was a God fire. It was ordained, it was started by God. Hallelujah. Let's praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Praise God. Praise God. Let me finish. Let me go on. It looks back in love and gratitude to the beginnings. But it also looks forward with anticipation and hope of the future. There's nothing wrong with looking back as long as you don't get stuck there. But the reason you have a past is so that it will be a testimony to your future. Revelation said that the Spirit of Jesus Christ, or the testimony of Jesus Christ, is the spirit of prophecy. What is a testimony? A testimony is an evidence, or it is a word concerning something factual. If it's not factual, it won't hold up in court. But a testimony is a true word about something that's happened. So what Jesus did back there, the testimony of Jesus Christ, every miracle, every wonder, every healing, everything, all the bread that he provided, all the ways that he made, he said that is a prophecy. That's speaking to the future. That's saying that what you see back there is the evidence of what you can see out there. And that's what you need to embrace. That's what you need to put your hands around. It is a pledge of the future. The fact is that growth of one thing should lead to the growth of another. It is natural. We're in the springtime. You didn't have to go out there and say, "Come on, grass, I hope you made it. I hope you're here. Where are you, grass?" Because it left something in the sea or in the ground through the winter that would come back and revive. And anything you plant, the growth of that plant produces the growth of another kind. It produces fruit, vegetables, and so forth. And so when there's a healthy environment of growth, it's going to produce more growth. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? We've had a very healthy climate of growth around here. So that tells me, that is my testimony, that whatever God has done there, he is going to continue to do there. He's going to take the seed that's been sown and he's going to ripen it to fruition. And the seed that's come to fruition, he's going to cause it to produce much fruit. And so it's an endless cycle, because that is the divine will and purpose of God, that nothing ever end with you or me. You hear me? Nothing should ever end with me. If it ends with me, I have failed. If somehow when this thing's done, if this dies, it's not anybody's fault but mine. Because it is my responsibility to make sure that there is a growth climate and there's health in the church that will cause it to continue to do what it's always done. And I have the utmost confidence in where we are headed and what God is going to do, because I've seen what God's done in the past, and God give me that and he give that to us so that we can look to the future and say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I want to get in alignment with it. I want to get in agreement with it, and I want to embrace that." You say, "How do you know it's going to work?" Because it's worked for the last 11 years. He and I've worked side by side for 11 years. We haven't had any problems. We've had disagreements. Everybody has those. That's not a problem. Unless somebody tries to make it a problem. And it seems like some people are gifted at the ministry of problem and issue creating. If they don't see it, they imagine it. Yeah. You say, "Brother Hughes, that hit pretty close. I want it to hit close." And the reason that I feel, I'm not saying I don't have anxieties right now. I would be a fool to tell you that I've come to this point in my life and have no stress or worry or fear. There's fear out there because of the unknown. But there's also fear to that man for coming into something that he doesn't know the totality of, because he has not had to be in that position of bearing that burden. But I tell you, there is no thing that I doubt about him being able to do that. And there is no question that I have in my mind about whether it can be done, because I've seen him help me share that burden for 11 years. And if a man will work beside me for that long, he deserves what we can give to him in the future. You see, every ray of sunshine gives ripeness to an apple. And every day the sun shines, it calls it to come to a greater ripeness and beauty. Every advance in our liberties make new advances, not merely possible, but necessary, because this is the divine purpose of God. Nothing, and I say it again, should ever end with me. Say that with me. Nothing should ever end with me. If the faith in your life ends with you and it's not passed on to your children in some way, then I feel like I have not done my duty as a parent. Now, they may not be living for God, but you pass something to them that they will never get away from, and they will never forget. Indeed, a goodly and godly spirit is one that treasures the past. If we ever get guilty or become guilty of disrespecting the past, we deserve everything that God could pour on us in his arsenal of wrath. Because there's nothing that discredits our future like not respecting and honoring the past. Amen. And you and I can never allow that kind of spirit presence in this sanctuary. And I'm serving notice on everybody again today. If that's your choice to make issues out of everything you see, I'm asking you right now, find you another place to go worship. We don't need that spirit around Greater Life Church. I'll say it again. If your focus is to look around and find every little thing that you can nitpick and complain about or find fault with or try to make an issue of, I'm just telling you, you're going to find something, because you do find what you're looking for. And if you don't find it, you create it. You make it up in your mind. Well, I thought. I can't tell you how many times somebody's been brought in to answer a question. Well, I thought. I don't need to make my thoughts into reality, because they might not be true. I'm meddling right now. I don't know if you know that, but it's a good meddling. You see, every detail and every twist and turn of our journey has been preparation for what we're about to do. Do you hear me? Every twist and turn. The God that met me in a storefront on 518 in League City and spoke as clearly as I'm speaking to you and said, Greater Life Church, at that time it was called Life Tabernacle of Clear Lake. He said, this church is going to be a hospital for broken and hurt people. It's going to be a place where they can come and be loved and understood and respected and embraced. And it will allow me to do the healing in their life instead of you trying to fix their problems. And you know what? For the last 31 years, that's exactly what God has done. Some of you sitting on these pews right now, when you came, were as broken could be. You had been hurt. You had been disappointed. You had been let down. But somehow in the presence of God around here, there's that healing balm that flows over you, and you can move past those things and you can get to a better place in your life. Aren't you thankful that there's a hospital that we can come to, that before you or I ever showed up, God said, that's what I want it to be. That's what I destined it to be. And if it's been that back there, it's going to be that up there. It's not going to change. Praise God. There is a growing hopefulness that comes when you have that kind of perspective about life. Not a fear of timidity or a fear of doubt, but a confidence and a courage that He has brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe that this church should be expectant without being impatient. We should be patient without growing stagnant. We should be waiting, but always ready to advance. We should be loving to advance, but always ready to wait. Full of confidence, but never proud. Simply knowing that the goodwill of the God who dwelt in the storefront is the goodwill of the God who dwells in this place today. The favor, the blessings, the mercy. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you will. Amen. Fire has always been an emblem of the divine nature and the divine presence. And His fire, listen to me, His fire never tends to death, but life. His fire never destroys what's supposed to live. His fire only burns up what is unneeded and unnecessary for my life at that moment. After all times, and still the same presence that I felt in here today is the same presence I've felt all the way back through the history of our being here. I'm not preaching this so you can feel good about me. I'm preaching this so you will feel good about the church and where we're at and what God is about to do. It's the goodwill. Everybody say the goodwill of the eternal delivering God, and is still with us. Brother Brown, you're the oldest living member of our church, I think, or the Picards may be. I think they may have been here first. I don't know of anybody else that I'm overlooking that's still alive. That's it. Am I not telling you the truth that in that storefront with just a handful of people, the presence and power of God came down and people received the Holy Ghost? I remember the first Easter that we were there. It had been, we'd come here in January, it was Easter. We hadn't seen any visitors and we had not had anybody pray through or receive the Holy Ghost. And there was a man that my brother-in-law had been working with at his plant. And it wasn't because I didn't have a lack of desire or fire, but we just had not been able to get a breakthrough. And on that Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, I'll never forget him walking down the front. And it wasn't a spectacular service. As a matter of fact, if I could go back, it was probably the worst Easter message I've ever preached. He was the only one that responded. Came down, I can remember in that place, he stood right there. And he just lifted his hands. And I'm encouraging the church, and then I hurried down to put my hand on him and pray for him. And when I got there, he was already speaking in other tongues. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. And God has not stopped doing that since that day till now. Amen. The eternal, ever-living, self-sufficing, absolute, independent, unwearied, inexhaustible God is the same God whose favor is inexhaustible, ever-living, all-sufficient, absolute, unwearied. Oh, church, hear me today. He that dwelleth in the bush dwelt there in order that he could dwell here and there. So if the goodwill of the eternal delivering God is with us, we too may feel that whatever troubles we may go through in the future, none of them will be strong enough to take us out. None of them. All the needs of our imprisoned wills and all of the captive souls that will come through these doors, they are known by Him, and He will prove Himself to be their deliverer too. He will deliver them just like He delivered you. Amen. Somebody say the goodwill. The goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. The goodwill of Him that dwelt in the storefront. And then, most of you don't know it, but when we put this first building up, we didn't even have enough money to finish the inside of it. We barely got the skin on it. But the men of our church never had held a nail gun in their life. We got together and I taught them how to build walls. And I remember some of them, a nail gun in their hand. I told them, that's a dangerous weapon. Don't point it at anybody. And I can remember the reaction of some of them when they pressed down on that thing and you pull the trigger and there's a recoil, and it was like it almost freaked them out. I said, it's okay. That's how it always works. Just make sure you keep the pressure down. We built out the back of that. Didn't even have money to put the doors in. So we put plywood over the doors opening over there, that old entry. We put plywood over that. And we would take down part of it when it was church time. We came in here, started having church. We had electricity on. We were able to finish out a rectangular part back there, put carpet on it, put a little stage up there, and that's where we started. And you know, God moved in that place just like He's moved in here. I'm not saying that for any other reason than to tell you that God who was in the bush is the God who's in our future. He's the God who's going to take us to our future. He's the God who's going to lead us to better things and greater things. Amen. Take somebody's hand if you will. I don't know where it was. I don't know what the church pew was that you were standing at or kneeling at. I don't know what place at the altar or in some private closet of your own agony, but all of you in this building have had a moment of some kind in your life when the God who dwelt in the bush came near to you. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that experience? Well, that experience God gave you so that when you get to the present, you have the utmost confidence and faith that the next step I take is going to be filled with Him, just like Him filling my life back then. I want you to pray this over them. The goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. I want the goodwill. I want the favor. Pray it over the person you're holding by the hand right now. I want the best blessings. I want the riches. I don't care what their heritage said. I don't care what the parents might have called them. I don't care how their parents might have treated them. You have a better word for them, Lord, today. You have a word of prophecy and promise for all of us. And what came to us on that day, more than life or eternity, none of that can exhaust it. None of that can wear it out. None of that can take it away. What came to you that day was more than life or eternity could ever exhaust or take away from you. The goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now I want you to find somebody you can love. Don't anybody leave yet. I've got some things I want to talk to you about before you leave. So just find two or three that you can love and express your love to them. And then you can be seated. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Oh, the blessings of the Lord. God, they are rich in my life today. I have nothing but thankfulness. I have nothing but gratitude. I have nothing but love for all you've done. Thank you, Lord.